Thank you for worshiping with us here today at Grace Point Church. In person, also online, thank you for worshiping with us online. We have a lot of people that still worship with us online, so we are grateful that you are here, and those also that are watching, very thankful. If you have your Bibles and you want to get a head start, Colossians 3. So we're working verse by verse through the book of Colossians this year. Now I'm kind of stepping down again on verse 2 today and next week. And then after that, we'll start to roll faster through chapter 3. But I'm stepping down on this because I think this is extremely important for us. All of it is, obviously. But this one, man, our minds it's so critical for us to grab a hold of Colossians 3, 1 and 2 especially. Before we get there, though, two things. I just echo what Pastor Guy said. May 16th, baptism. Love to talk with you. If you've surrendered your life to Christ but haven't been baptized by immersion, we'd love to talk with you about that. Sign up in the lobby or gracepointdenton.com. Gracepointdenton.com, you can sign up there. The banner just like that you see, you can click on it. It'll take you right to the place you can sign up. We'd love to connect with you, celebrate with you on May the 16th as we have a baptismal service. So we always look forward to that. It's always a great time of worship. Second thing, text blast. Let me just mention, I started this a couple years ago, but a lot of people I know knew, a lot of new people. If you want to be, get a text from me. So I send out weekly text blasts. The genesis of it is I wanted to try to just do small things to encourage you during the week. This is just a small thing. It's a text blast that I send out every Wednesday. It'll hit your phone about 8 o'clock. It's usually something I've read somewhere or something I've heard. I take notes and do a lot of reading things and quotes. I like quotes and stuff, so I'll jot something down and send it to you. So if you want to be a part of that, just text Pastor Dave to 313131. Automatically signs you up for that, and then this Wednesday you'll start to get those text blasts. That's all I use it for. I don't use it for announcements or other stuff. It's just that dial in that one time a week just to try to encourage you, help you point you again to, you know, the main thing, help you set your mind. Sometimes little things like that can help you set your mind on things above, exactly what we're talking about here this morning. So this morning I want to go back to kind of where we left off. I want to finish up a little bit and then jump into some more. We're going to talk. We won't get through this whole thing on your outline there today. I've learned in the first service, but I'll finish that next week with some other things. But we're going to talk a little bit today about social digital media, the impact it has on us, and the competing that it does with us setting our minds on the things above. And then next week we'll talk more specifically about it and how it impacts us as adults, our teens. We'll talk about Snapchat, TikTok, Instagram, all that stuff next week. And I want to give you, I hope it's a fair position on it this morning. I'm not one to say we throw it all away. I think as we step back and take a look through the biblical lens and how we can set our mind on things above and leverage, as you're going to see, one of the takeaways, the internet, social media, and things like that to help us do exactly what we're being called to do right here in Colossians chapter 3. So let me just read through these verses, then I want to make a few comments about it before we jump into the takeaways. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 and 4, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above. So we talked about that a couple weeks ago, seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Verse 2, and this is where we'll dwell today and finish next week. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. Okay, it's a setting. It's not, don't be involved in anything this side of heaven if it's not of God. He's saying don't set your mind on the things of earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Verse 4. When Christ, who is your life, so bracket that, we'll get there. Verse 4, we'll talk about that statement and the implication of it. Who is your life, appears. And you also will appear with him in glory. So last week, just to review, set. That's what we're talking about, setting our minds. The one thing I want you to grab a hold of from last week and again in this week and from this text is when we think about the word setting, what we learned last week, is the setting of one's mind calls for a definite act of our will. So it's an act of your will. So in other words, that means it's back on me. It's back on you.
I make a choice. I choose what I will set my mind on.
Choose to set it on the things of God. Choose to set it on the things of earth. But I make that choice. We talked last week about the importance of the mind and the influence that the mind has on everything that we do. Let me show you. If you want to turn there, you can. You don't have to, but be behind me on the screen. Matthew chapter 16, verse 21 and 20. Well, let me start in verse 22. And this just reiterates what I'm talking about, the importance of setting our minds and how serious we must take it and how serious Jesus took it when he was with the disciples. In verse 22, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, that's never a good thing, is it, to rebuke Jesus? Far be it from you, Lord. This shall never happen to you. Now watch verse 23. Watch what happens. But he turned to Peter. He turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me. So let me just stop right there for a minute. So Jesus is calling Peter Satan. I don't know about you, but that's a big deal when I see that. And he says, get behind me, you're a hindrance, Satan. All right, so the next part tells you why he did that. For you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man. You see how serious Jesus takes this deal? That's why we're dwelling here, Colossians 3, 2. I mean, that's a big deal. And this is a big deal to Jesus. That he rebukes Peter, calls him Satan, says, get behind me, you're a hindrance. So, I mean, we could stay there, we won't, but we draw some conclusions that when we set our mind on earth, we're a hindrance to the gospel. Hindrance to advancing the gospel. Right? And so, setting our minds on the things of God versus setting our mind on the things of man. Now, I want to go to Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Let me just read this one, too. So, I don't have time, but if I go up to verse 6, Philippians 4, 6, it's the passage we've talked about many times before and talked about mental health series, about anxiety, being anxious and anxiety. Be anxious for nothing. And he talks about the way, then, that we can do that. And that's by our prayer life, and I think it's a description of setting our mind, right? Instead of the things we're worrying about, we're setting our mind on the things of God by Philippians 4, 6, by praying. I'm going to share it. It's a paraphrase, but don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Right? So that's the setting part. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything and thank God for his answers. If you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. That's Philippians 4, 6, paraphrase. But the idea is you're setting your mind right on things above. And what happens is then you begin to experience the peace of God, things from above. If we set our mind on things of earth, we won't experience the things above, which is the peace of God. So where we set our minds has big influence. So he then goes down, that's Philippians 4, 6. Then you get down to verse 8, and again, he reinforces We don't want to set our minds on the worries and the things that are causing us to worry, to setting them on things above, chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true. This is where he's saying we should think about or set our minds. Whatever is honorable, whatever is just and pure and lovely and commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. That's a setting your mind on the things of God, things above, because all those things are Christ-like. So that's another way that we're setting. He's talking about the importance of setting our minds on the things above. Now, let me show you one other verse, and then we'll go back to Colossians. This is why it takes your pastor like 5 years to get through a book of the Bible, man. If you're a guest, I started Colossians chapter 1 at the beginning of 2020. I was on a record pace. We got through one chapter. So we picked up chapter 2. In January, and we're about to finish. No, we finished chapter two. I finished a chapter, and it did not take me a year. We're in chapter 3, so I'm on fire, like I'm rolling. So if we go to Philippians, though, chapter 2, verse 3, I want to show you this one thing, again, about this idea of setting our minds and what flows from it, right? So Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, it says this, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. So he's going to, in verse 5, he's going to say to have the mind of Christ. I'm going back to that idea of studying your mind. But he's backing into this. So, but what he's saying is, this is what you're going to experience when you have the mind of Christ, right? When you've set your mind. So he kind of starts off with that. That's why he says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Now look. The only way you're going to do that is you set your mind on things above. That's not going to happen if you're setting your mind on things of the earth. You're not going to put others before you. You're not going to have a spirit of humility. It's not going to happen that way, man. The flesh takes over. So then he says, look, let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Okay, again, here's how that happens. Verse 5. Mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. So when we're setting our mind on the things above, it then impacts what flows from us. Humility is a big one. So I know that if I am battling pride in my life, maybe that's a stronghold in my life, if I'm battling pride in my life or even in a certain situation, if I get into an argument with my wife and I'm prideful, right? I know then that my mind is not set in the right place. Go back and get your head right is what you have to do. Because your mind is not in the right place. If things of the flesh, Galatians chapter 5 talks about the works of the flesh, if those things are being manifested in my life instead of the fruit of the Spirit, like humility and other things, then my mind is not set in the right place. If I'm anger, if I'm bitter, if I'm resentful, if I'm jealous, if I'm any of those things, look, we all battle, then I have to recognize, Colossians 3, then my mind, my head is not right. I'm not saying, so I got to pause. I got to take a pause. I got to go get back to where my mind is right. Otherwise, I'm going to say something to her in my anger because my mind is set on here and not. So you see how it all ties back to where I'm setting my mind, which is why it's so important, I think, for us to grab a hold of this. Picture, just think in your mind, you're driving, you're out here today, you're on 35, I think it's that way. You're on I-35 and you're going south, you're driving south, going to Dallas. And as you're driving along, you know, of course, you're 1 mile under the speed limit because you love Jesus and you obey the law. And then you decide you're going to pass the person in front of you. And right as you turn your turn signal on because you start to go out, and then somebody honks their horn and you go, gosh, and you pull back really fast. Maybe when you're blind spot. Didn't see him coming. It's a blind spot. Takeaway number one. We all have blind spots. Spiritually speaking. Blind spots are a big deal. They're such a big deal that now a lot of the cars have mirrors within the mirror that help you to see the blind spot because there are so many accidents because of blind spots. I'm not sure why, but along the way, I decided I would teach my 4 children to drive by myself. It was an experience that brought me closer to Jesus, and in some cases, I thought I was going to see Jesus, if you know what I'm saying. But one of the things I taught the kids is you got to watch out for the blind spot. If you don't watch out for the blind spots, you can have an accident. There's going to be an accident. You know, it's not going to end well. So watch for the blind spots. We all have these blind spots. Now, Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15 says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice, listens to counsel. Now, I would say, you take it out of the scriptures to talk about the importance of godly counsel. So spiritually speaking, we can have these blind spots. And I think these blind spots can at times keep us from certainly walking in Christ and being Christ-like. And also, I think they can keep us from setting our minds on the things above. Maybe a blind spot is where I have been setting my mind and I haven't realized it. Now, here's the thing about blind spots. You know, they're blind to you and me. And that's why I use Proverbs 12, verse 15. For my blind spots are blind to me. If I want to know my blind spots, then I need to be willing to ask those closest to me, those that are believers, those that love me, those that want the best for me, about my blind spots. For me, that's my wife, you know, to share blind spots. And I want to know blind spots. Because if I'm not aware of those blind spots, then, you know, accidents happen. Things happen, man, that I don't want to happen. But here's the deal is when you ask about your blind spots, it's, you know, we need to have a ready heart to hear those things. Because sometimes we might have a hard time because we don't think that's a blind spot. So let me give you an example of some blind spots, not on your outline, not on the screens behind me, but just examples, then we'll move on. This is kind of left over from last week. When we think about blind spots spiritually, some people are blinded by denial. We don't want to acknowledge that we have any blind spots. We won't even consider that. I don't have any blind spots. I'm fine. I'm not going to ask anybody about my blind spots because I don't have any blind spots. We're blinded by denial, and that is, in fact, can be a blind spot when we don't even consider the fact that we might have those. A second one would be selfishness. I think we get blinded by selfishness a lot of times when it's kind of a me-first mentality, and everything focuses, you know, kind of on me and revolves around me, and that's right. It's a real blind spot. It's opposite of Philippians 2 that we read about, right? Bitterness and anger. Well, that's a big one, man. We get angry or we get bitter, and it can become a blind spot, man. We get angry about something that has happened to us in life. We get angry about the circumstances of our life. We get angry about the things people did to us or said to us, and we get bitter and we get angry. And others that maybe have hurt you legit hurt. I'm not saying it's not there. But if we don't take that, whatever that hurt is, right, and set our minds on the things above, right, then that will become a blind spot that will cause us to make bad choices and to make bad decisions. We move into something that's not good because we're not seeing that, perhaps, that bitterness, that resentment, that anger, that unforgiveness, that whatever it is a blind spot. And then I think isolation, there's others you can add to it. I'm not going to dwell with others, but those are just examples. You know, isolation, pride can be certainly a blind spot, as I mentioned. Isolation, we don't have others around us to help us with blind spots, and so they continue to wreak havoc in our lives. I said to you last week, one of the takeaways that I really didn't get time to preach was don't believe everything that you think. Don't believe everything that you think, because we want to be careful about what we're thinking about our minds and also our feelings. And we want to make sure that whatever it is I'm thinking, and I use the example, I think, of people who may have low self-esteem or low self-worth, and they begin to think about themselves. You know, I'm unacceptable. People don't love me. People don't see me. People don't care for me. People don't need me. People don't, right? So you start to think that. So that's why we have to be careful what we think, because then we come along. We say, well, what's the standard, which is God's word? What does the Bible say to us about us? So as we talked last week, we take captive those thoughts, make it obedient to Christ. This is who we are in Christ, Colossians chapter 2, which we talked about. The brain, the mind, powerful, as we shared last week. And just let me share one other thing about this, that because just to, again, to show you the power of the mind that God created and the power of our brain, which just points to Him as this, you know, an awesome creator, which we learned in Colossians chapter 1 last year. But I was reading more about our minds and about the brains. And one of the things that just kind of stuck out to me is this thing, some of you probably heard of it, called the optic nerve. The optic nerve that goes and connects the eye to the brain. The optic nerve is what connects the eye to the brain. The optic nerve is a bundle of more than 1 million nerve fibers that carry visual messages. You have one connecting the back of each eye to your brain, the optic nerve. Now, here's the deal. The optic nerve actually sends more impulses from your brain forward than from your eye backwards. Which means most of the time, your brain is telling you what you see, not your eye. This is why I can put four people at the scene of the same accident and you get four different accounts. We all saw the same thing, but see, it's not just about what you see. It's what your brain tells you you see. The reason I'm saying that is to remind us again of the power of the brain and the mind, and that we have to be careful that we don't believe everything you think. Now, what do we do with that then? Then we take what we're thinking, and what we do is then we line it up with what the Bible teaches and with what God has said to us. That is a Colossians 3:2 move. Setting your mind on things above. That's what that means. That's how you do that. Or how you feel about yourself. Or how you feel about that person. Or how you feel about your husband or your wife or your kids or whatever. Or what you think, right? So setting our minds on things above means I take the, and then I come to what the Bible teaches, right? Then I have clarity and understanding on what is right and what is true. It's an act of the will, right? It's a choice that you're making. To not just let that be idle or not believe those things, right? That you bring them in, right? To what the Bible teaches you, what the Bible teaches us, to see if those things line up. If they're true, then if they line up, then yes, they are true. But this is our standard. This is our standard for living. Our sole authority in life is God's Word. I say this in Grace Point 101, and it's always good to remind us, right? That at Grace Point Church, that we believe the Bible, that everything in the Bible is true, that it is the infallible, inerrant Word of God. It is our sole authority for life. And we believe that by following the Word of God, we will not just simply have a better life, but we will have the best life possible this side of heaven. Amen? Do you believe that? By following the Word of God to us. Even through deep waters, even through tragedy, even through valleys, even through hurt, that we still believe that it's by walking in obedience to God's Word that we will find the deepest joy and the greatest life possible this side of heaven. I'm not saying it's a prosperity, like everything's going to be perfect. I'm not saying that at all. I'm not selling that. I am saying that by walking in obedience to God in His Word, we will find the most fulfilling, the deepest, the most purposeful life this side of heaven. So, takeaway number one, blind spots. There are things that keep us from setting our minds. There are things that keep us from believing truth. There are things that pull us away. I'm going to talk about social media now and transition to that. And sometimes that can be a blind spot for us. And I think we may not even recognize it at times. But that's something between you and the Lord. And that's the work you do this week. It's not easy work a lot of times, too. But just by the way, you start asking about blind spots, you know, because sometimes, but, you know, it's good work because, you know, those blind spots can create problems for us, keep us from setting our minds and walking the way God wants us to walk. So takeaway number two. First of all, we all have blind spots. We need to recognize that and know what those are and then respond to those biblically. Takeaway number two, when we think about social media, digital media, which I want to talk to you about today. Now, from First Service, I already learned that I'll get through takeaway number two and like maybe get to the first part of takeaway number three and that's it. So next week, I'm going to talk more about the influence of social media on teens, on us. We'll talk about the different platforms, TikTok and Snapchat and all that stuff next week. I just want to kind of start into it today and I just don't have time to really talk through everything. So takeaway number two, when we think about this issue of digital and social media and setting our minds, don't sacrifice what you hear from God for what you see in the world. Now, there's a couple angles I want to come at it, okay? So the main thing I'm talking about here is that we live in the, I would argue that we live in the age of the eye. The age of the eye. There's so much focus that I'm going to share with you today on what we see. Right? And so what happens then on what we're seeing through digital media and social media is if we're not careful, that pulls us away. We're setting our minds on the things here on earth so much, so on those things. I said to you last week, in terms of social media, there's two things we've got to be concerned about. One is content, the other is volume. So it might even be, I'm not saying you're watching horrible stuff. If you are, obviously that's a content issue, but the volume, the amount of it, right, can pull me away. If I choose to, if I choose to watch ESPN at home and on my phone, and I'm clicking off, 8 hours a day or something, 9 hours a day, that stuff in and of itself is morally bad, but the volume of it can certainly keep me from setting my mind on things above, right? And so we have to when we talk about volume, just be careful about the volume that you are involved with your social media and with digital media. We are in the age of the eye. It's all about what we see, and those things pull us away. So Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. I think kind of hits right at it where it says this: therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard. What we've heard. Not see, what we hear. He says, lest we drift from it. So he's not saying we're paying attention. Do you catch that? I mean, the implication is that they were, and that you are, and I am. But he said we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away. See, I would say that in our day and time, in our culture today, the age of the eye is there's so much attention paid to what we see. And the spectacles, which I'll talk about, in what we see. But if we're not careful, don't sacrifice what you hear from God for what you see in the world, that it begins to pull you. He says right here, lest we drift from it. Pay much closer attention. So when I was in seminary class or college, whatever, high school, wherever you can think about class, when you were in class, and I'm taking notes in seminary class, in theology class, and listening to the professor, and I'm sitting, taking notes. But I tell you, I guarantee you that when this one guy, man, when he'd say, now, I strongly encourage you to take down all of the notes that I'm about to say for the next 5 minutes. Like that was like ding, 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 ding. Okay, this is going to be on the test. So we would be like listening. But man, as soon as he said that, what would we do? Oh, we're leaning in, man. We're leaning in. And we're paying much closer attention to what he's saying. And that's what he's saying here. In this day and time, and even back in that day, but for the context of us right now, this day and time, I think we all, myself included, need to be careful. And we need to pay much closer attention to what we have heard. If we're not careful, we'll drift from it. And so your battle, and my battle, even with my adult kids, but especially with your young kids, is that so when mine were younger, I wasn't battling what you're battling right now. The accessibility, the commonality of it just is so much higher than when my kids, were especially elementary, we weren't battling a lot of this stuff that you do with as much social media and digital media and things like that. I mean, there were issues with TV and stuff like that. We didn't have the computer stuff as much, I would say. Phones, it's just gotten younger with phones. We'll talk about that next week. Our biggest battle, I'll tell you, I've talked about this before, our biggest battle with our four kids in high school was their phones, when we got them phones. And the accessibility of things on those phones, clearly you guys know that. I mean, I'm not telling you anything new. And so our battle was that, we fought that battle hard because we dug in on that, man. We dug in on that. And we weren't popular, but, you know, I told him, I am not here to win a popularity contest, son. I'm your father. And so all four of you are going to put your phones right down here on the counter tonight, every night. Every night, man. Matter of fact, let's just forget. Here's the bill. Those are my phones. Put my phones on the counter. I'm not kidding, man. I was not playing. And you got a little passcode on there? Just go ahead and write that down right there for me, too. Now, my kids weren't like rejoicing, saying, oh, you're the godliest father we've ever had. This is wonderful. This is so wonderful. I can't imagine a better father. You're a pastor and everything. It's wonderful. I mean, they weren't, I don't think they're saying that stuff as they mumbled, they're going up the stairs. But you got to fight it, man. You got to fight that battle. It's well worth fighting. You got to pick your battles. Let me tell you, but you need to get in there and fight. Because too many are not. You're just letting it go. And it takes time. It's not fun. It takes time. You're not popular. There's some hard discussions and some fights and some attitude and all that. But you need to fight the good fight. If not, you're going to pay the big price. And so that's kind of just where we're starting. So there's a way to fight it right and wrong. I'm not, you know, maybe that's for next week. But so therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift from it. So that, I think that's to us, right? That's to us. And we need to lean in, as I said, as we're more so for each of us, for ourselves. But then it, you know, flows down to our children. There's no question, you know, that the world offers this this feast of multimedia now, right? There's always new video games. There's always new movies. There's always new YouTube videos. There's Instagram images, just constant. Twitter is constantly bombarding your mind and your phone. It's ongoing. It's continual. Popular entertainment, viral videos on social media, they're now made constantly. They're made everywhere. They're put out there for everybody. And here's the deal. It reaches us anywhere and everywhere. It started happening when we started carrying that digital theater in our pocket. And perhaps like no century before us, we are submerged into a media and into what has been famously called the age of spectacle. Perhaps like no century before, we are overrun with media and social media and digital media. And one writer said it this way, in any generation, spectacles are what sinners turn to in order to turn their attention away from God and away from their neighbor. The two things that we're called to do. The two most important things in Matthew chapter 22, verse 36 and 37. I think I just put 37 up there, but through verse 38, when they approach Jesus about the most important law, and he said, verse 37, Matthew 22, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And he said, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And those two things, the most two most important things you can do is love God and to love others. And in our time now, these spectacles are what are seeking to turn us away from loving God and loving others, setting our minds on the things above. Now, I mean, almost time to wind down here, but I want to say this. I am not coming at this thing. My position is not a retreat in the sense of, you know, throw away the smartphone. Get rid of your TV. Don't get on the internet. And I'm not taking that position. Now, there might be time, you know, get rid of the Xbox. There might be times when you go through seasons, whether it's for you as an adult and you recognize it, or whether it's with your kids that you do that. You know, we had times for our kids for different reasons where we shut everything down. Right, if they start to get this entitled attitude with me, like I owe them, and that they start to take everything that God has given us and our family, and them for them to use for granted, then I shut it down. So there's seasons when I think you do that. You have to, again, you know, that's, I'm just giving you snapshots. It doesn't sound good, I know. But in the big picture, you know, there's seasons when you have to do those things, right? So, but overall, in the big picture, my approach is, I'm not saying, well, you know, you just need to clear out all that stuff out of your house. I think what we have to figure out is how we navigate through it, right? And still set our minds on the things above. Be salt and light, be Christ-like, and find that pathway through. So let me go back here and kind of wind this down. When we talk about spectacles, I define it, and this way, it's from an author I read who I thought he did a great job with this, and so I take a lot of stuff he said about it and then kind of combine it with my stuff. But he says this: what is a spectacle? A spectacle is a moment in time of varying length in which a collective gaze is fixed on some specific image or video or event. Okay, so that's a spectacle. So when I say with age of the eye or the age of spectacle, that's what I'm talking about. A spectacle is a moment in time of varying length in which a collective gaze is fixed on some specific image or video or event. So a spectacle is something that captures our attention. It's an instant when our eyes and our brains focus and fixate on something projected to us. Come here, man, you got to look at this one. Look at this. Oh, you got to see this. Let me send you this link. Check this out. You pull it up on the computer. You're looking on your iPhone. YouTube. That, and it draws you. I mean, it could be... Again, it's not necessarily bad things. It can be, certainly. But spectacles can be, they can be brilliant photography. It can be an eye-catching billboard. It can be animation. It can be commercials, new music videos, sports clips of athletes doing amazing things, or sports clips of athletes failing miserably that could draw us in, and everybody wants to see that. But these spectacles, what's happening is these spectacles, they're competing for our gaze and for our attention, and they want to grab as many eyes as possible. So that means the pranks get even more insane, is what happens. The trick shots get crazier. The tweets get more intense, right? And on and on and on, because there's this competition for the eyes of people. New spectacles all the time to grab our attention. And that's why I say, don't sacrifice what you hear from God for what you see in the world. In Hebrews 2:1, be careful that you don't drift away. And these spectacles pull you away, and you may not even, drifting, right? We talked about that as a casual thing. So maybe this today is more of just a heads up. Maybe it's more of a, be careful. Maybe it's more, look at where you're at. You know, examine it. Is it a blind spot for you? Now, I'll finish with this, for time's sake. All of the spectacles and the crazy, and the stuff that happens, much of it, not all of it, certainly. I mean, I'll talk next week about how it's damaging, but a lot of it, even that pulls us on our attention, seems like harmless fun, and a lot of it is, right? But here's what you need to understand. I would argue that all of these spectacles want something from us. They all want something from us. Every spectacle wants something from us. They want our time. They want our attention. Some want our outrage. Some want our affections. So we see these spectacles, and we are constantly responding to them. And even some may tug at our heart. And some of them want your celebration, and some of them want your awe, and some of them will awaken your heart, right? And they want our time. Some want our anger. Some want our approval. Some want our buy-in. And so many of them want your money. And YouTubers will give you new spectacles in exchange for your view and your likes, which gets them a financial reward. They're after something, man. Spectacles are after something. They all are. Netflix, you know, and I watch Netflix. I'm not slamming social media. I'm just, Netflix, they just flat out want your time. I mean, you start on this crazy series, and you're just sitting there for 10 hours, and you go, what just happened, man? What in the world? It's dark out. Good night. There's light when I started. I mean, that's me and Karen. Like, where were we starting? Whew, we just went through that whole series. It took 2 years to go through, and we did it in, 8 hours. The gaming industry, they want our money. Each demanding something. These spectacles are wanting something from us. So now, here's the deal. The attention market, these spectacles exist because we feed it. It exists because we feed it. So the question I want to answer then is, how does God want us to respond to the world of spectacles? Again, I'm not saying don't watch YouTube videos. I'm not saying, certainly if the content's bad, don't. But I'm not saying don't do Instagram. I'm not saying don't watch Netflix. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that we have to be wise and be careful. See, even in Hebrews, he says, therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we've heard, lest we drift from it. He didn't even say, stop doing all these other things. He said, no, just lean in more to what you're hearing and you're growing and you're maturing. Lean in more to that. Okay, that's the response. That's what we'll talk about next week. I mean, some of it is, you need to stop. But the last thing here, So the last thing I would say, and sorry, this is kind of an abrupt landing, but time has got us. So I do think this, and I'll talk more about this next week, and this is for, I think, where am I at? I ask myself, because I told you I preach to myself. I'm like, well, what does God want from me in terms of the, I like to stay plugged in, man, for my phone, nothing else, man. I just, let's go, and stay connected and work. And so I'm trying to find what God has for me in the midst of this thing. But one of the things I realize is that there's something, we all have to, I believe that we all have to, starting with me, I'll speak for myself. I have to get to a place where in some form or fashion I disconnect. I'm going to argue this for your kids next week too, man. But let me just start with me and us as adults. That for me, I have to find a way. I don't know what it is yet, honestly. I don't know. I'm praying about it. Like, what is my disconnect? Because I'm like hyperactive. I'm a hyperactive kid. I'm a hyperactive adult. Like, I got to go. To sit down, I can sit down if there's a sports event on in front of me, but I can only go about 6 minutes. I need to get up and do something. I'll come back to it. So it's not good, I know, but so there has to be something. So Psalm 46:10 is what I'm getting at. This one that I feel like the Lord, for me, maybe for you, I don't know, but all of us have to, I think, grab a hold of in some form or fashion. It's this verse that he just keeps bringing back to me, right? Be still and know that I am God. So it's packed. I don't have time for it. So full of like truth. Like, so there's something I think about knowing God, perhaps in greater ways, when I'm being still. I don't know. Like, again, I think there's more to it than that, but there's something here. And I think that be still means, I got to disconnect from digital, social, all that stuff. And that is a way of I'm setting my mind on the things above. That's a way that we lean in more and listen closer. Be still. And as we're being still, know that I am God. So I think as we do our part, then what happens is God does his part. In the midst of that stillness, God's doing something. You know why? Here's why I think it is. Because he has my undivided attention at that point. I'm unplugged. So let's bow our heads. No music. Don't start the music yet. Don't let the band come out yet. Everybody just be still for a moment. Perhaps this will be the quietest moment, literal 60 seconds you'll have all day before God. We're going to go 60 seconds, just bow, maybe dwell on that verse, think something of God. We're going to do it for 1 minute. Amen, right there. So that was a minute, right? And you're going like, that seemed like forever. It's because we never do it. But there's something about that. And I'm not saying, you know, well, there's something about letting God speak. And I'm trying to get my head around that verse even more. Be still and know that I am God. I think there's a lot more work for me to do there, but I got to be still. Disconnect, and that's, we come to know God by setting our minds on things above. Let's stand together and pray. Lord, thank you for our time. Thank you for this church and for these people. I pray you take what's been spoken, press it into our hearts. We're going to lean into you, God. I pray in greater ways for you to speak to us in powerful ways like you always do. I just pray we'll come to know you in deeper waters and deeper ways, God. Just draw us. Thank you for your faithfulness. So we respond to you, Father, by setting our hearts and minds on you, by worshiping through song now, and just being reminded of your greatness. We're thankful in Jesus' name. Amen.